Knicks will not make it out the first round. Knicks versus Sixers. If Embiid back, I'm taking Sixers. If the Knicks make it out the first round, I would wear a Knicks jersey, a Brunson jersey.
But look. Hold on. Wait a minute. Where's the music? The music is not playing around with me. Hold on a second. There we go. What's going on? This is Jay Ellis from the Nick of Time Show. Here to give you that Knicks talk just in the nick of time. And guess what, Paul Pierce? The Knicks beat the 76ers and advance to the second round of the playoffs. Let's get it. First of all, Brunson Maxwell gives you 41 points and 12 assists. Dante DiVincenzo gives you 23 points, 7 assists, 3 blocks, and 4 rebounds. Josh Hart gives you 16 points, 14 rebounds, and 7 assists. OG Anunoby gives you 19 points and 9 rebounds. Hartenstein gives you 14 points and 9 rebounds on the night. The Knicks outscore the 76ers on the turnover front 22-7. And they just passed the rock, man. The Knicks get it done. They actually learn from their mistakes. And they beat the 76ers, advancing to the second round. So let's get it, man. First, all these analysts who talked about, the Knicks are going to lose to the 76ers. Why did they win that game with the Bulls? That's the stupidest thing they ever heard. All these so-called analysts who counted us out. I'm talking about you, Nick Wright. I'm talking about you, Shaquille O'Neal. I'm talking about you, Chuck. I'm talking about you, Draymond Green. I'm talking about you, Charles Barkley. I'm talking about you, Gilbert Arenas. I'm talking about you, Austin Reeves. All of y'all can suck it, all right? All of y'all, because y'all don't know what you talking about. The Knicks are here. Put some respect on our name. And enjoy the show. We here. I'm tired of being underrated. I'm tired of being overlooked. Jalen Brunson is him, Draymond Green. You flip-flopping, talked about, oh, we're not going to pass the 76ers. Then when it looked like he was about to win, you double back. He was like, oh, he does not pass the ball enough and all this other stuff. They're not going to pass the 76ers. Now we beat them. Y'all got nothing to say now. Y'all all going to have to eat crow. Y'all all going to have to own y'all words. And we spinning the block, and we still taking over 76ers and Philly. Let's go, Knicks. Let's get into it. And before we get into the game, I'm just hyped. Before we get into the game, I got to introduce you to my guys. First and foremost, it's the man, the myth, the legend, the guy with the stats and the facts.
Ryan G's in the building. I got one thing to say.
We outside.
And also, JL has started it. But for my bruh picks, I'm spinning the block as well. So it's not over yet. I'm spinning the block again.
You're spinning the block, damn it. Yo, Paul Pierce is going to look crazy in the Brunson jersey, man.
I don't think I want to see that. I ain't even
going to I forgot to introduce you. Of course, you already know it's our D1 baller. Baller. Ebony in the building. What's going on?
Second round. Is that you? I see you. I missed you. We back, baby. Got some unfinished business. I was talking to my moms after we won. I was telling her, I was like, yeah, and we owe the Pacers. We owe. We owe them a lot. One for their point guard thinking that he better than ours over them, picking him to start over our point guard one. Then we owe them from Roy Hibbert blocking Melo. We owe them for the Reggie Miller day. And I'm pretty sure Larry Bird did something to us too. So they owe.
They absolutely owe. Word to Wally, we owe them one. All right, we do.
We owe, but like, yo, this is what this team game gives you. Perfect team. We kept it consistent. A lot. I talk. We talk about it. We got a lot to talk about.
We got a
We got
lot.
second round.
We
We
got a
on the
lot to talk
way.
about, man. We got a lot to talk about. Second round loading. We are playing the Pacers, and I can't wait to get it started. Oh, man. And Lee Escobedo, I know he was speeding here on the ways from his pops to talk about this. I know he
He's
was.
pulling. He's
I
pulling that
know.
Amari on
Yeah.
speed.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go, Lee.
Let's get it.
May I speak?
It's your
Sure,
go.
we still
You
doing
came
intros. We
perfect
just we
timing.
doing intros. I got Latin Assassin Lee Escobedo in the building. What's good?
Okay. Wow. Premonitions, intuitions, visions running my dad's side of the family. My grandma had it. My father has it. I have it. I haven't had one in a very long time. I had one today. And Ebony, it was about you. Fourth quarter, ball was swinging out of nowhere in my head. I hadn't had one of these all series. I saw Ebony saying, in the playoffs, that's where Josh Hart is going to matter most. I remember you saying that. And then I saw MSG and Spider-Man, the ball swung to Hart and he hit that three. And I was like, I told my dad, I said, Dad, I just saw Ebony in my head. She told me Josh Hart is going to be Josh Hart. And boom, Josh Hart knocked in that three. I was like, let's go.
Oh man.
It was a magical sequence.
Yeah.
Unbelievable series. I'm so happy it's over and that we
Yes.
have an easier, less physical series in Indiana. But that was a series for the ages and one of an all-time niche series in franchise history. Jalen Brunson is a superstar.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You gotta put some respect on his name. Have to put some respect on his name. I'm gonna start this conversation with something that we've kind of struggled with at times. But when we've done this right, we've usually won. And Ebony harps on this for most of the season, and it's teamwork, it's moving the ball, it's moving your man. Jalen Brunson has had a lot of 40-point games this season. Not every 40-point game is the same. Some 40-point games are uglier than others. Today looked like an easy 40-point game. The last game looked like a struggle 40-point game. And the difference is the trust in the teammates and the trust in the past. You can see it. You could see it in Jalen Brunson's energy level in the fourth quarter today versus his fourth quarter a game ago. When he's passing the ball, when he's utilizing his teammates, when he's playing off ball for a minute, his usage is down a little bit, and he has a lot more energy to finish off those quarters. And you saw that today, as besides the last game, he's dribbling, dribbling, dribbling. He's got shoot 40, but lot more enemy expended, and it didn't come out with that win. The pass won us the game today. 28 points, I mean 28 assists for the Knicks. So huge shout out to Jalen Brunson, who's having an MVP type of season. I saw some crazy stat. We just back to back to back 40-point games. This is the first time that's happened. Or Nick gave back to back to back 40-point games in this in a playoffs. Jalen Brunson absolutely phenomenal hitting clutch shots. Learned from his mistakes from last game. He talked. There was a post game where he talked about how he needed to trust his team. He needed to make better decisions. He needed to hit free throws, and he needs to communicate better on what to do, what the game plan is at the end of the games, and that's exactly what they did today, and that's a huge reason why the Knicks won. Game one of the game balls, because there's plenty of game balls go around, but one of the game balls go to our leader, our MVP, the guy who takes accountability, unlike Joel Embiid, who I watched him pass the buck every playoffs for the past 5 years. I've watched him put the blame on somebody else. This season is no different. One of the game balls go to our leader, Mr. Accountability, Jalen Brunson, for me. For sure. Anybody else have anything to add to that?
I was kind of, we were talking about Jalen Brunson and his amount of hero ball last post game.
Yeah.
It was a lot. It was a lot. It was like 10 minutes of straight Jalen Brunson. And when doing that, you water down what's working, which is exactly what happened last game. The 76ers adjusted and realized that every time he was trying to take Embiid, eventually Embiid adjusted. He started blocking. He caught a couple of blocks off Jalen, got a steal off of him and everything. He adjusted to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Today, Brunson said, okay, I get everybody else involved, and I'll take a shot here and there. I'll get everybody else involved, and then I make sure I'm relevant by taking a shot when they need me.
Yeah.
And then in the fourth quarter, when we needed him to really put on, it was an adjustment, because now you had Dante doing what he was doing. You had Josh Hart chipping in and doing what he was doing. You had OG, who was super aggressive. So in doing that, and he kept them in the game throughout the quarters.
Exactly.
Unlike he iced out his Robins last game. He didn't ice them out this time. He used them. He worked off of them the whole game he did it. And then he did get a little tight, and it kind of reminded me of you go to what you know during pressure situations. Even Clyde had mentioned it during that period of time, like in the fourth quarter. He was like, Brunson needs to trust his teammates in these moments. And then, like, right after that, he said that, really? That's when the whole play where no hesitation, that same play that he's hesitated multiple times on, today there was no hesitation to get that ball to Josh Hart.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh Hart looked to give it to Dante. He didn't force it. Said, okay, they
left him open. They said they dared him to take the shot. And he took knocked the shot it this
down.
Time.
He knocked it down. That's what he's that type. We got those type of players. The lights are not bright. They're going to do. They're not running away from any of the smoke or any of their responsibilities. So it's just like at any moment somebody can go off. And right now, yeah, we're struggling with we have a problem with some bench scoring. We barely got any, today or whatever. But it's that's one game. The bench, Deuce has held it down majority of the time. He had a bad offensive game today. It happens. It definitely happens. I just love his adjustments, him taking accountability. I knew he was going to learn. That's how you learn.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying, it's my fault. So once you say it's my fault, you're going to want to not have to say that again.
I agree.
You're going to figure out how you cannot say that, have to say that again. And that's what we see. He definitely is learning as we're going. He did his thing. He definitely did his thing.
He today. Definitely did his thing, man. Trusting his teammates.
Yeah.
Ryan?
That shot he took between all them people. I'm like, what the? How'd you get that all? Crazy.
I've seen a lot of salty talk on Twitter about Nick Nurse. And yes, Nick Nurse has been very whiny. He's been very obnoxious. He's been very deferential with blame. But he's a very good coach. He's an excellent coach. I think he's probably going to be the best coach that we match up against in this Eastern Conference run. And breaking the glass and removing Buddy Hield was a very brilliant move. Buddy Hield, I believe, was the best three-point shooter in the NBA this season. If not number one, damn near number two.
No, I don't think it was this season. I think it was like last 7 years. I don't think it was this season, though. I feel like he fell off this season, personally.
I thought he was shooting 45% from three. Anyways, career, one of the best in the NBA. And to have him really throw a wrench in Tibbs's rotations, I don't think we were prepared for him. And we had to adjust because there hasn't been a lethal shooter like that on the floor for them.
Yeah.
But too relatively quiet, and Maxey not known as a three-point shooter. It really stretched our defense, and it made it hard for us to hedge after we have been on Embiid in double coverage. So the fact that second half, I told my dad, I was like, Tibbs got to show us why he is a defensive master in adjusting. And he did it. And Buddy Hield didn't have that same effect in the second half he did in the first. Still was incredible in his first playoff run.
Yeah.
But out of hand to Tibbs for putting a heart on him and really keeping the ball denial on him catching on the perimeter instead of trying to defend him once he catches it.
Yeah.
It was a really good move. And going back to the fronting of Embiid with OG and Ihart in the post as well was awesome ball denial as well. I thought Thibodeau's adjustments helped to win the game. And OG, man, we've been calling him soft, but some of us have. I have. And he proved that he absolutely is not. I think he learned that first half, didn't stuff twice, drive to the basket, and he went hard in the paint in the second half and really came through in the clutch when we need him the most, making that trade like one of the best trades the Knicks have ever made.
Two things before I know Ryan spoke in a minute. One adjustment I saw Tiz make was he stopped doubling because we was getting paid. We got burned four times in a row from that same play. Two passes, swing, swing, corner three, swing, corner three. Tip is like, you know what? We're just gonna let Embiid. This is an Ebony play. Ebony, we just gonna let Embiid go ham, single coverage, and that's it. So Tibbs just says, screw it, straight up single coverage for like a quarter and a half. Then I think like the third quarter when he put Hartenstein back in, which I was surprised at because I felt like Mitch did a really good job playing Embiid one on one, got a couple of steals, deflections. Really bothered him, wasn't fouling. But he put Ihard in there in that fourth quarter. Maybe he was scared of Hakimic, maybe. That's the only thing I could think of. But the doubles came from different places. Like the double came from the baseline instead of like the top. And I think it kind of messed up where Embiid usually throws his passes and it kind of just threw it off a little bit. So shout out to Tibbs who made like an adjustment, at least on the rotation. On where the double way A, where the double's coming from, and B, just I'm gonna just go single coverage until we talk about where the double's coming from. So, shout out to Tibbs for that adjustment. Yeah, go ahead, Ryan. I know it's been a minute since you.
Yeah, I definitely got a few notes. So earlier, before the game played, I went on Twitter and I put three main keys to the game for the Knicks. And I was like, if the Knicks do these things, they're gonna win the game tonight in Philly. The first key I put was execute better late game situations.
Got
The Knicks
that?
did that tonight. The
Yep.
other key I put was find a way to slow down Maxey. Maxey only had 17 points tonight. And the other key I put was more ball movement. Get others involved in the offense. And that's exactly what the Knicks did with 28 assists for the game. And Brunson actually trusting his teammates this time around and getting them involved. I definitely think, especially when they got Devo off early, I think that was a major factor. Because the first five games,
Yes.
he was not really that effective. And getting him off early, I think that was great on Brunson's, well, on the Knicks part, just getting the other guys involved and getting them going throughout the game. And when I look at the stats, it's amazing how the Knicks won this game, because when you look at the stats, it's crazy because the Knicks only have 5 bench points.
Yeah.
Sixers bench had 36 points in total. So the Sixers bench killed the Knicks bench in this game. Then when you go even further into the stats, the Sixers hit 17 threes. The Knicks only hit 14 threes. Free throw line, Sixers shot 22 of 23 from the line. Knicks only shot 18 of 24 from the line. Rebounds. Knicks only out-rebounded them by two, but again, 20 offensive boards in this game. So the Knicks showed their dominance on the glass, and those offensive boards got a bunch of second opportunities for the Knicks, and they took advantage of that. Then you go even deeper into the stats. Like when you look at these stats, it's amazing, and it shows the resiliency of this team that no matter how the odds are stacked against them in a game, they just find a way to win the game. And that's what they did tonight. And I think some key moments in the game was, I think EJ Ellis, you mentioned it, and I just want to reiterate it. I think the fact that they went away from doubling Embiid, because every time it seemed like they doubled Embiid, it gave the Sixers an open three, and Knicks continuously got burned on that. And the fact that they went back to single coverage and had everybody just hold their man, I think that was a great adjustment because the other guys on the Sixers were going off, and you can't have everybody going off like that. It's either you have just one guy going off, or and just leave it at that. And then also, Brunson with making big shots late in the game. I think for two straight possessions, hit like two straight threes to put the Knicks up by six in the fourth quarter. OG again stepping up on offense with the amazing dunk 3-point play. I think to put the Knicks up by eight because they missed a free throw. And you have to give the Sixers their props, man. Like this series was so difficult just for the simple fact that both teams, if you look at both teams and the way they're built, they mirror each other with the way they play basketball. Both teams are physical, both teams are defensive, and they play hard, and that's what made this series so difficult for the Knicks to win. So you have to give the Sixers their props. But at the end of the day, the Knicks showed that they're more tough mentally, and down the stretch they executed better. That game five was an aberration. They didn't execute late game situations well, but they learned from that mistake. Game six, executed well down the stretch and got the win.
Tom Thibodeau's teams, especially this Knicks team's needed over, have always chosen to crash the boards opposed to leaking out on the offensive rebounding. Tibbs just hasn't had the roster to really maximize that. Leon Rose gave him the pieces to really make that one of the biggest weapons in the NBA. And the addition of Isaiah Hartenstein, that duo of him and Mitch, but also OG and especially Josh Hart, the guards being able to crash the boards as well. And then once it's tipped out for a second opportunity, we finally have the shooters. No more Nerlens Noel or Reggie Bullock breaking shots or Elfrid Payton or RJ Barrett. Now we got guys like Debo and OG who can hit those shots in the corners. And most importantly, Jalen Brunson, who's a masterclass of all kinds of three-point shots and movement on the perimeter. Tibbs finally has the soldiers he needs to fully unleash his point of attack.
I agree.
Oh. Yeah, facts. The non-doubling, I was kind of upset about that last game, especially because Embiid didn't have such a big game. I didn't understand so many times Dante, Deuce, even Hart would double down or help down, especially when Mitch was there because he was doing a great job one-on-one with him on last game anyway. So I didn't understand, especially if your man is Maxey. If your man is Maxey, you should not be going to help. And we did that a lot. We didn't do that so much today. So that was another adjustment we made. Also, when you have play and ball movement in your offense, it's harder for people to box you out. And you saw that in the first quarter. I think we had about like 9 offensive rebounds that first quarter.
Yeah, we did.
So that's another thing that happens when you're moving. You don't have a target to box out. You can get extra rebounds. And you know, that kind of happened to us later in the game, sometimes during the game with Philadelphia. I felt like a lot of their points, they kept in the game by a lot of lucky broken plays, you know, offensive, not us not finishing the defensive rebound, getting a defensive rebound, or somebody tips it out and it just magically goes to a 76er type stat, and then they hit a three-pointer. You know, so that's a lot what happened today. I felt that if we did what we did, we'll be okay. You know, that the ball kept moving. Us not doubling in B was big, because that's how they were getting the majority of their shots. That's how Tobias ate last game. And he was trying to Batum was trying to eat this game from that. You know, he started as the out hot hitting shots. You know, it seemed like they were willing to let Oubre shoot, though. Like, if anybody, mm-hmm. they wanted him to be the one that shot.
Exactly.
I just like the adjustments we had made. Definitely. Yeah.
No.
It was, the Dante, I noticed that last game also, he had a terrible offensive game, but he had a good defensive game. When he was on Maxey, he did very well. So I'm like, okay, let's not have Hart on Maxey anymore, because every time he was on Maxey, he got smoked. So Tibbs, watching film, starts Devo right from the start. He was on Maxey right from the jump. It was not Hart first. It was Dante. This is your assignment.
I don't even think he had a terrible offensive game. Like, he had, I mean, it was 44% from the field.
Oh, no. Yeah, now today he had a great game.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. My bad.
Game. Oh, yeah. So he didn't have a good offensive game last game, but, you know, he had a good defensive game. So I was like, all right, he's going to be okay. Maybe we have him in there when Deuce is not in there, you know, on Maxey. And then on top of that, he came in with no hesitation. That's another adjustment he made. It was no overthinking with Dante today. It was straight basketball play. I get the ball. I got space. I shoot. No thinking about it, no nothing, no taking another dribble into Embiid. They punished him for dropping. They punished him a lot. And that's something I thought we would do more during this series, because he just automatically dropped to the paint. But Dante definitely punished him with that today.
I agree. And the spacing provided, because after he hit a few threes, they were on him. You know, already know that allows Jalen Brunson some time to get some dribbles in and to make some plays as well. But also, the three-point shot kind of opened up a little driving couple of driving lanes. He's able to get 7 assists off of that. So all around, Dante has just been masterful. He's actually played Maxey well during the regular season defensively. We didn't use him all series defensively for like large chunks of time, only spot time. But today it was the difference, because having Maxey look up and he only have like 2 points at the half is huge, was huge for us. It was really huge. So shout out to Tibbs, who you put everybody on that. You put everybody got a turn, and game 6, you figured out that's the guy. And also shout out to the Nova boys and our guys, because their nutrition level is on 20. Because Tibbs went to a 6-man rotation, damn near.
7-man, but McBride only paid like
nine minutes. Yeah, 6.5-man rotation. Nobody looked tired. Nobody looked gassed. Everybody was spry, full of energy. I'm sure everybody in their mind was thinking, what's happening? Where's Precious? Where's Alec Burks? I wasn't asking about Alec Burks. I saw some people asking about Alec Burks. But some people were asking, where's Precious? Precious never got off the bench. And it didn't matter today. If he lost, sure enough, you would have heard Fire Tibbs and all this other stuff. They would have acted Tibbs' head. But we won that game. So all that got to go right back in the bag, because the Knicks are going to the second round, baby. Let's go. Also, OG Anunoby, man. I know you guys talked about OG Anunoby before and about his non-softness. I just appreciate the emotion that he's been showing, because this man has been Kawhi Leonard light with the robotic facial expressions all season long. Exactly. This is like that robot dog. He's been the robot facial expressions all season long. Game 6 playoffs. Oh, he's cursing. He's pumping his hands up in the air. He has all the emotion. I like this. I like this OG Anunoby. Exactly. Locking up people. So shout out to OG. That mid-range game was on display today. Hit a couple of threes. The steals were there. The defense is always going to be there. When you're looking at who has the highest plus minus of the game, who but OG Anunoby +8. And gave you a little bit over his average. Got 19 points today. Shot 17 field goal attempts. So when you're looking at the field goal attempts as well, you know, some people want to shoot more. He had like the third most field goal attempts on the game, which is admirable. Which is, you know, it's good, which is something that we need more of. So shout out to OG Anunoby. And also, I just like the way Jalen Brunson managed the game too as well. Do you want to add anything to that before I just go ahead and switch subjects completely? I'm sorry.
Yeah, OG was huge this game. His aggression all throughout the game, looking to not just settle, looking to create his own shots and points too. During that run, he was huge. There was a 2 back-to-back 3s. One of them tied, gave us the lead kind of vibes. And in between there was a steal and a block. I think he had like a help defensive block on Maxey. Mm-hmm. They had a mismatch with Mitch, and Mitch put him to the, you know, drove him to the baseline, and OG was waiting. So he was huge. OG was definitely huge on both ends. He made his imprint on both ends. That dunk on Embiid.
Yeah.
That made my night.
Oh my God.
That made my night, especially since that's like the second one of the series. So that's like the second poster he got on Embiid. I love it. OG trying to make his mark, getting more comfortable in his role. You see he can get aggressive. Yeah. So that's good to know. That's good to see.
He can't get aggressive. He can't call his number for sure.
Yeah, facts. I'm just gonna add 2 cents on OG Anunoby. Of course, you know, with Randall out, you know, the Knicks are definitely going to need other players to step up. And he's one of those players besides Josh Hart, who I think in this series really stepped up to the plate to provide the extra offense for the Knicks. And the way he played both sides of the ball all series is just admirable. And it shows the impact that he can make on a playoff team and how he is important to the team in the playoffs. And, you know, it's definitely a major trade that Leon Rose pulled off. in January to bring him to the squad because he's definitely paid major dividends and he's going to be needing the next round. So, everyone pretty much said everything about OG, so I really don't have much else to add, but I just wanted to reiterate his importance to the squad and what he's brought to this team since he's gotten there.
I love that OG gives you whatever you need. He's kind of like Josh Hart in that way. You need rebounds, he'll give you 14, like he did in game three. If you need points, he'll shoot 16 or 17 times, like he did tonight for 19 points, hit 2 of 5 from three. He kind of molds into whatever Tibbs needs of him offensively. And defensively, he may be the most consistent motor. Definitely of a starting five, him and Deuce, it's pretty close. I mean, and Mitch, we got so many dogs on this team.
Man, shoot, and Josh Hart and DiVincenzo, like all those guys have amazing motors.
What's great about OG is I think he's a player that has killed us so many times in the past. I think about that 2013 Indiana Pacers series going up against Paul George and how he was able to do a little bit of everything, guard Melo, shoot threes, do some playmaking at the nail. And that's what OG can do. OG, again, is above average in every single facet of a game, and he's elite defensively. And those rotations where he had him and Mitch and Josh Hart at the same time, I don't fear anyone when those three are out there sharing the floor. And that is an incredible luxury to have. And if you think about what we gave up and what we got back to him and Precious, to me, it's another notch on why Leon Rose deserves Executive of the Year.
And Josh Hart, man, I know Ryan G brought this up before. Josh Hart's gameplay, to me, is like the big swing skill here for us. Because he was so bad last year versus Miami. Like
Nothing.
tentative, like on the offensive end, he was very tentative on the offensive end. And him alone killed us offensively because he was just scared to shoot. He was able to load up on Brunson and we couldn't go anywhere. The fact that Josh Hart can be relied on to hit threes in big moments. He had, what, two games where he hit four threes. Today he hit three threes. And then he had, I mean, the games I feel like the games he lost were the games he didn't hit threes. I feel like every time he lost, Josh Hart didn't hit threes that game. I know everybody points to rebounding. The games we lost also coincide with us being beat on the boards. And when we got beat on the boards, usually by like two, which is kind of crazy. And we won by two today. We got two more boards today. But Josh Hart threes are big for us because he just gives you everything else you could possibly ask for. The defense, the rebounding, the one man fast break off the rebounds as well. The passing, because he had seven assists. So that swing skill, if you can stay aggressive and keep shooting those open threes, we should keep rolling for sure.
I think, yeah, facts. I think with Hart is also is when you put in work, you become confident in the work that you put in. So you hear Deuce explaining how the amount of jump shots he took this off season, the amount of work he put in to just putting his into the jump shot, and you see the results. And Josh Hart, when we got a break, he called in his shooting coach. They did what they did, whatever they had to do, fix whatever they fixed. And that just gives you extra confidence that you're working on that. So gives you the confidence to not hesitate and have the backbone to take shots like that. I was big on saying that maybe he bit off more than he can chew. We went to the playoffs for the first time last year. He went to the Olympics, new father. When does he really have time to better his game? From that period of time to the season. So that break we got was big for everybody, and I had mentioned that too. It's going to be big for everybody. You could, whatever it is, retool, get some rest, whatever kinks you had in the prior round, you could, adjust to it, do whatever, fix it, find ways to fix it. And once you put in that work, it's no hesitation.
No hesitation.
There was no hesitation really with Josh. He looked to give it to the better shooter. The better shooter was not open. He's like, "All right, I'm gonna do this myself."
Absolutely, absolutely. So big kudos to Josh Hart. One of the game balls go to Josh Hart. Team ball today. Everybody contributed today. OG, Isaiah, Dante, Jalen,
Mitch.
Mitch. Shoot, even McBride, who stank for the first half, he hit a big three. He hit a three when Jalen Brunson was about to check in. So I even put Deuce in there. Team effort to get this game today. And just the fact that loss that we took the game before is going to help us in the future. We're going to execute better in tight situations in the future because of that game. And we just tightened the screws on how we went about business. And we just did it correctly. We hit our free throws except for one, Jalen Brunson. Still got to clean that up. I still saw you. Clean that up. You hit our free throws. Please
clean that up.
Yes, please.
Please. I think OG missed one too, wasn't it? Was it?
Yeah.
OG, yeah. They got to clean that up. But like 19 comments said, we are battle tested. These other teams ducked the smoke. They didn't want to play Philly, supposedly, or whatever it is. They lost to play whoever they wanted to play, or however they want to look at themselves in the mirror. But now those teams both are eliminated.
Exactly. The teams who ducked the smoke got eliminated. And guess what?
Don't mess with the basketball guys. You play the game the right way, which is whoever's in front of you, you play.
Exactly. Except when Indoor hit that shot and then... Well, got higher seating. Never mind.
Well, except for the Cavaliers, because they up 3-2. But besides that, they're gonna get swept in the next round anyway by the Celtics. So it's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. And we'll see what happens with the Magic. Maybe they'll pull out. Who knows?
Yeah, we played against the dirty team. You know, with two superstars, two stars, a MVP caliber player. You know, who does that in the first round? We played against a former MVP, you know?
Both dirty teams have been eliminated in the first round. Thank you.
Thank you, basketball guys.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate you.
I want to add, Philadelphia is not a real seventh seed. They're a top three seed team. If Embiid would have been healthy, they would have been seeded way higher than they were. Mm-hmm. This is the reigning MVP in Joel Embiid. And I'll tell you what, man, Tyrese Maxey is close to superstar level. I'm not ready to put him there yet based on one round, but he has all the tools to rise to a whole nother level in his game. And those two, with Nick Nurse as a championship level coach, this was the best seventh seed maybe of all time. Like, they were great defense, very well coached. Everyone knew their role. A bunch of vets that were hungry, great 3-point shooters. Like, they're a well-spaced team too. We took advantage of their weaknesses, which are the minutes where Embiid sit. I mean, that backup center, Paul Reed, was a bum.
Yeah.
And we blasted his ass back to the bench.
That baby, my bruh pick, Lee. He total. My bruh pick. My man Mitch, got one block a game on his.
Exactly, all that ish. And he smacked in the face. So I was just, I want to give Philly their flowers. They're a very, very, very good team. Very well-coached team, which makes the Knicks look even better in beating them.
Yeah. And I think people forget that this season when Embiid was playing, the Sixers were 32-8. So people have to put that in perspective as well. Like, this team was nearly unbeatable when they had Embiid playing. And the fact that the Knicks faced them in the first round and took them out, like, honestly, this didn't even feel like a first round series. Honestly, this felt like the damn Eastern Conference Finals, the way that these teams battled each other. And I think for the Knicks to have that kind of series in the first round, it just shows how battle tested they are, and it should bode well going forward for the Knicks in this playoffs.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I also want to remind you guys that we are also missing an all NBA player who averages 24, 9 assists, and 9 rebounds and 5 assists in Big Julius Randle. Like, we were also missing that guy. That guy, of course. So everybody's like, oh, if Embiid was fully healthy, then y'all would have a chance. Well, we had Randle here, and we were rolling with Randle here. We beat that team by 30. I don't want you guys to forget, with our full team, with Julius Randle, I don't even think we had Mitch that game.
No, we didn't have Mitch.
No, we didn't. Julius only had 8 points.
Yeah, we beat that team by 30. So I don't want you guys to forget that. And as good as we are now, we can still be a whole other stratosphere when Randle comes back next season. I'm just
saying. Yeah. And I don't know, yeah. I know we just, the Sixers, we, I'm excited about this Pacers matchup. It's a lot of storylines. It's a lot of
Yeah.
get back. The Pacers really haven't played us at a, even close to where we at now. We're still not healthy, but they have
Yeah.
not played us like this either,
Yeah. Yeah.
either. So this is going to be a good matchup. And again, people are going to, get exposed, I think. Our physicality makes teams look different, makes players look different. And I don't see them having enough to match up with us.
Yeah.
Like physicality wise, they have another center who wants to stay outside and shoot. And you pair him along with Obi Toppin, who wants to leak out somewhere and shoot where they rebound something.
Yeah. Well, yo, I feel like with the Pacers though, I feel like we're going to have to open up our rotation a little bit. I don't think we're going to have a choice because the one thing I will say about the Pacers is they move the ball so much that I just know the games that we played them in that fourth quarter, we usually look fatigued because of how hard we have to rotate to keep up with their passing. So for us, we playing six guys versus the Pacers, I don't think it's gonna cut it.
Yeah, I think the Pacers, they play Milwaukee, who's not a defensive minded team, right? They're not shaking in your boots when you think of that team right now. So when what does the Pacers look like in the playoffs against a defensive minded team?
Now I
When we
agree.
going to, we're going to shrink that court. I think we're going to su surprise folks. I think we play the tougher series, to be honest.
Now I'm not saying I don't I'm picking the Knicks to win.
No, I know you're picking the Knicks.
I'm just
Yeah, now
saying
I know that. I
we've
never
been
knew
going.
you ain't saying nothing other than that. But
We played 6.5 deep today. We might have to go 7, 8.
they might, but with the Pacers and the type of lineup they have, that might be a precious type of matchup.
Yeah, exactly.
It might just be a precious type of game, and that allows, and who knows? Alec Burke, I give him flat. I call his situation desperation. So when we're desperate, we might use him. But even with Alec Burke, I heard that he's hurt. So maybe that's coming to why we are not playing him right now, because
Yeah.
he's not 100%, and it's a shoulder. We need you to shoot. You're not going to do anything else. You get what I'm
Yeah.
saying? You're not doing anything else. We need you to score, though. We do. We could use your scoring, but maybe because he's not 100%, Tibbs just like, all right, might as
Yeah,
well
it's
just,
not your series. It's not your
yeah,
series.
it's not, yeah.
I have no fear of Indiana. I think we win in five, and it might even be a sweep. And I'll tell you why I'm a little bit cocky on this one is because I saw our rebounding rate against Joel Embiid, who's a beast. And the one thing Tobias Harris is decent at is rebounding. And we dominate the boards on them. Even when Nick Nurse trying different schemes and trying to box out and leap out for offensive boards, it still wasn't enough. And even playing Embiid almost a damn near game wasn't enough. And Indiana has a very weak rebounder at center in Miles Turner. Now he's a Dallas, Texas boy, so I'm not going to talk too much smack about him, but
I will. I talk smack
his biggest, most
about
glaring weakness
Boo, Miles, boo.
his weakness is rebounding. And we all know what kind of rebounder Obi Toppin is as well. There's not very much rebounding with the guard position either in Indiana. So I think we're going to smack the everlasting daylights out of them at every position in terms of offensive boards and second chance points. And we're going to destroy them in points in the paint. They're one of the worst defense and rebounding teams in the entire NBA and have been ever since Rick Carlisle took over. So I think that's where we're going to dominate. They don't have a big man to post and get us in foul trouble. I think Mitch and Ihart are going to be able to share minutes and stay out of fouls, and we dominate. I don't have any worries.
Yeah,
I'll say this. I
I
just have my
agree.
2 cents right quick. Like I said earlier, what made this series so difficult for the Knicks against the Sixers is because I said both teams mirror each other in style of play. So when you have two teams that are tough-minded, defensive, going at each other, it's going to be a slugfest. Like no team is going to really run away with a game and things of that nature. It's going to come down to the last few minutes who executes better and things of that nature. Now against the Pacers, it's teams with contrasting styles. Knicks like to play physical, Knicks like to play defensive, Knicks slow the game down, they play in the half court and things of that nature. Pacers like to run up and down the court, they like to run the score up on opponents. So basically, the win of this series is going to depend on who imposes their will more on the others. And the thing with the Pacers is the Pacers has never seen the Knicks as constructed like we said earlier. The times they faced the Knicks was one time late in December when Knicks just made the OG trade. So the Knicks were shorthanded for that trade because they had injuries. And then on top of that, there was no Barrett. There was no Quickly, etc. So the Pacers faced a shorthanded Knicks team, smacked them in Indiana. The other two games where the Indiana came to the Garden and played, Knicks had no OG, no Mitch, and Knicks were going through injuries. So Indiana faced a shorthanded Knicks team as well. So now Indiana's going into this series going against a Knicks team that they haven't faced a Knicks team with OG in the lineup as of yet. They haven't faced a Knicks team with Mitch in the lineup as of yet. So now they're facing a different Knicks team. And the fact that the Knicks team faces Sixers team, which is much higher than the seventh seed, it's like the Knicks facing a damn three seed in the first round and battled it out and won that series against the Sixers. Going up against the Pacers, like Lee said, I do feel like the Knicks are going to impose their will on the Pacers. They're going to force the Pacers to play in half court and take away their fast breaks and running up and down the court. I think the Knicks are going to hold the game within the 90s, 100 range.
Yes.
And I'm not going to say sweep. I do respect the Pacers a little bit, but I do think in five, the Knicks are going to probably get this series. At most six, but five.
And go ahead.
I agree. I definitely agree. Our offensive rebound is a threat and it's an offense, it's a weapon, it's part of who we are, right? And the Pacers want to get out, they want to play fast, and that's kind of hard to do when you have rebounding the way we do. You have to joint rebound, you have to team rebound, you have to do it as a team to really try to, you know, go up against iHeart and Mitch, Precious, and shit, some Josh Hart, you know. So I think that we'd be able to stump it. It's just us not turning the ball over, and they're not a big defensive team. So if you're not a huge defensive team in the playoffs, this is what separates us from us the rest of the league.
Yeah,
we can score, and we can guard. Where the rest of the league can't score, but everybody can't guard. Either it's either or, you know. You can guard, you can't shoot like the Magic, you know. Or you can shoot and you can't guard. We can do both very well, and we do the little things very well. The rebounding, the blocking, the in passing lanes, mm-hmm. you know, in the
intangibles, play. Exactly.
Yes. So, and then we have a lot of people who don't need the ball to impact the game. I don't even know who the heck the Pacers' backup center is.
And it's looking
Isaiah Jackson, but
I mean, Isaiah Jackson. So Isaiah Jackson and Mitch lineup. I know Mitch does very well against Miles Turner.
Yeah. Miles Turner's having a good series, though. But Mitch does usually have a duel versus Miles Turner. And the Celtics lost Porzingis. He's not going to be back for, 4 weeks? 4 to 6 weeks or so?
They said they already predicting that they automatically go into the Eastern Conference. They said he'll be back for the Eastern Conference final.
He'll be back for the Eastern Conference.
They know they're going to be in there.
They are being presumptuous because the whole, I don't know if you guys remember, the whole time I was like, I feel like we can take the Celtics. The only thing that kind of worries me is Porzingis. The other thing I always said was, I would be shocked if Porzingis makes it through the playoffs healthy. Because he's never even played a whole season before. Lo and behold, non-contact injury. Shocker.
Yep.
So with us getting OG and him having to, you know, he's able to kind of guard. He's actually able to guard. Why, y'all, this is bleeding out. So now my brain farts are happening. Huh?
You talking about on the Celtics?
Yeah, on the Celtics.
Horford, you talking about the big man?
Oh, I mean, he could probably guard Horford too.
you talk about like Jason Tatum.
Yeah, Jason Tatum. Thank you. No, OG guarding Jason Tatum. To me, Jason Tatum was always like the big matchup problem for us, and that's why we need to get OG here. But now that we have OG here to guard Jason Tatum,
I think Tatum guards Tatum pretty fine by himself.
Got him.
I definitely do. That baby got his it's about to be allegations on him
Yeah,
soon.
we should. We might have to put on Derek White. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh,
Derek White's
but
been killing. I don't know. Tatum hasn't been the
yeah,
problem. It's been Derek White.
definitely killing that Heat series.
That's the type. That's the type that get, that will try to go off against us, right? Derek White type of player, but
Exactly. But I think we match up versus the Celtics really well. I think this could be a season where we piss off a lot of experts because they're going to pick us against they're going to pick us against the Pacers. They're going to. And so be prepared for them to pick us against the Pacers and then be upset when we beat them. And then they're definitely going to they're definitely going to pick the Celtics against the Knicks. And I don't think they realize how good we match up with those guys, especially without Porzingis. I think both matchups is going to be a rude awakening for the experts. And we're going to be spinning the block a lot.
Joshua Revere, tongue tied, chat in the chat said that Barkley already picked the Pacers to him.
I already know. I didn't have to.
That's crazy.
Shocker. I did not even have to watch that program. I didn't even watch the program. I did not have to watch the program for to know that Barkley was going to pick the Pacers. Even though they called us the second best team in the East, but they had us losing to the 76ers and now losing to the Pacers.
I told you, instead of giving our credit, like real credit and where it's due, they'd rather look stupid instead. Like you rather, it's a trend. It's just a trend now. They rather just look sound, look and sound as dumb and goofy as they can possibly sound. Like that's just them. And it was I think I told y'all about the Bucks fan asking us to beat the Pacers because they were so arrogant. If they bring the arrogance and piss off our player, that only fuels it. Angry Brunson is my favorite Brunson. I got him out rocking the shirt. You don't want to make me mad. You don't want to see me when I'm
You
mad. I got
don't.
the Hulk,
Don't do it.
the Hulk vibes.
Don't do it. So we
Don't do
welcome
it.
that. We can play
Or
physical.
do
We can
it.
talk. We can do the trash talk things. Piss them off. That's exactly what we need. Just play right into our hands. Let's get to it, man. Let's get to it. All right. Salute to the chat, man. Salute to the chat. Shout out to all you guys who are up late at 1 in the morning talking Knicks basketball after we get to the second round versus the See, it's mad tired. Now I'm getting sleepy. I'm forgetting people's names and stuff. Versus the 76ers. Shout out to 19 Con Man. Shout out to Picks for Timmy, Gregory Lee, Sadak Barry, S. Parker, Isaiah Ramos. Who else? And Joshua Rivera, Marsha L. Everybody rocking with the KOT show. If you like that show, hit that like and subscribe. We go live after every game talking Knicks basketball. And we here today talking more Knicks basketball after a huge win beating the 76ers in Philly, man. And y'all, shout out to the Knicks fans because y'all went so crazy that the 76ers, the owners had to buy 2,000 tickets to try to drown us out. And, we still heard some Knicks fans there. I still heard some dudes. I still heard some MVP chants. So, I mean, y'all bought the 2,000, y'all bought the tickets, but didn't help y'all win. But I
Nope.
guess good job supporting those first responders,
Why did it take to this game for you to do it? Lame energy. You should have been rocking with the first responders.
Facts.
Lame-os.
It's optics.
Facts.
It's just optics. Dolan gotta buy us tickets next time, Dolan. You gotta buy. Gotta buy us tickets and give it to New York first responders and then pay for the boat ride or the bus ride. All right. All right. Let's get to it. You know what? It's time for that show. It's time for the time that part of the show.
Bruh.
Bruh picks, man. Bruh picks are usually the worst plays of the game. Sometimes it's not this game. Sometimes it could be any game. And sometimes it could just be something stupid, something dumb, something idiotic. Analysts saying that they're gonna pick the 76ers to win over the Knicks.
Bruh.
Or Gilbert Arenas. Or Paul Pierce. You know the drill.
Bruh.
Let's get to it, man. Bruh picks. I already know.
Yeah, it's time for me to spin the block. It's time for me to spin the block. Let's go.
Slow ride. Headlights out. It's dark. Exactly. Load the clip up. He's spinning the block.
Exactly.
Drive-by time. Let's get it.
It's about to be a drive-by shooting.
Yeah. Let's go.
First and foremost, Shaq and Chuck. Tonight, before the game, game six, you were like, the Sixers are going to blow out the Knicks. Guarantee to hold this L.
Bruh.
That's number one. Number two. Number two, I actually like this guy. He's a good basketball analyst. He's on ESPN. He breaks down the game really well. But I have to give a brush to Tim Legler as well. I know he's a Sixers fan. I know he was rooting for his Sixers. But again, he also said it was going to be a game seven at MSG. So your team is going to Cancun. Another bro.
1, 2, 3. Cancun.
Again, don't you wish you stayed away from the Knicks? Don't you wish you stayed away from the Knicks?
Exactly. Another bro. Again, this is another person I like. Andrea Carter. I feel like she's a great analyst on ESPN. I like her. I like when she's on First Take giving her analysis on basketball games. But she also said that there's going to be a game seven at MSG.
Bruh.
No, they're in Cancun, bro.
A lot of wrong.
Another bruh goes to, well, he gets daily bruhs on this show, Paul Pierce. Because he was another guy who's been against the Knicks all season, saying that the Knicks are not going to get out of the first round, and saying that if the Knicks get out of the first round, he's going to wear a Jalen Brunson jersey. Well, get yourself a Jalen Brunson jersey because you're going to be wearing it all week.
Bruh. So sad.
And then this bro pick, you know, this one breaks my heart because I love my Knicks family. You know, we ride together. You know, we cheer together. We share, you know, when the Knicks let us down, you know, we share that heartbreak and things of that nature.
Yeah, we share moments.
Exactly. We share moments. And I love my Knicks family. Mm-hmm. But some of y'all are soft as hell because after game five, I saw a bunch of y'all in the chat talking about getting that Thibs, saying how Thibs should have did this, Thibs should have did that, basically getting on Thibs when the Knicks were up 3-1, they lost again. They were still up 3-2. Nick Nurse is a great coach, but outclassing him for most of the series. But no, one game you turn on him, and again, Josh Hart, I understand. He misses a free throw. I understand. He made an error. But no, y'all turn on him too when he's been playing good all damn series. Okay, y'all turn on Mitch as well. Mitch, okay, he made a mistake. He fouled Maxey on the three-point play. Again, Mitch was playing good all series, but no, one game, y'all turn on him as well. And what does this Knicks team do? They win game six.
Bruh.
And I was telling y'all from the get-go, I was like, yo, you cannot turn on this team for making a mistake when they had the game and they still have the advantage in the damn series. It's not over yet. But a lot of y'all was acting like it was over. That's why after the post game for game five, I told y'all I asked to get some damn rest. Cause I'm like, yo, y'all wallet for no damn reason. The Knicks still got this, and what they do? Game six, they finished the damn deal.
Finish the game, Jill. And Ryan, I gotta ask him to that. Because I bet money, if you go back a couple of weeks, those players who were saying fire Tibbs and the Knicks are doomed and we're going to lose the series, I bet you those are the same people who were saying we're going to be a playing team when we lost like two or three games in a row. I bet you it's the same people. How much you want to bet?
Bruh.
Loser mentality. Never been through nothing.
Facts.
I mean, these social media streets fighting, how they say, fighting for my life, how they do it. That's me. Kelly. Because, you know, I always have the pick that people try to come at, or take that people try to come at, maybe because they don't just understand or whatever it is. And one of the things that I always say, I never said fire Tibbs, I told you, said trade, though. But I used to come in and tell them all the time about this team. We're not a playing team. We're far from a playing team. And that's when we had the kids still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you understand? That's just even before we even made the trades and things of that nature. So then once we made the trade, I'm like, y'all bugging. This is what a team game gets you. You play defense, you move the ball. You're all right. You're going to be okay.
You're going to be okay.
You'll be okay. And you see.
We're going to be all right. Shout out to Kendrick.
For real, you get a little
euphoric feeling winning this game. Euphoric.
Yeah. Shout out to Kendrick going after doing his thing. I liked it.
Back.
But yeah, I'm sorry. You're done with it.
Yeah, I finished unloading the clip.
Clip done.
I only gave you one with Paul Reed. I definitely had to do that. And he another one. Don't you wish you stayed away from the Knicks? Don't you wish you stayed away from the Knicks? Easy that. Easy baked oven. You got baked. That's what it was. My man Mitch is averaging a block a game on you. Little man, you multiple times. Might as well got a DNP. Probably would have, but you know, be struggling. So that's that. I just want to give my other bruh pick to the whole Philadelphia franchise, from Nick Nurse, the fans, everybody, especially for this one instance, when they looked at MB smacked the shit out of iHeart and still said, refs, you suck.
What? Yo.
Bruh.
I couldn't believe it. I was like,
wild. Yo, iHeart is literally bleeding. And they still try to argue that they didn't foul him.
Facts. I was like, yo, why did he even challenge that? I'm like, yo, he clearly hit him in the face. I'm like,
I couldn't believe they challenged that.
I couldn't either. My man leaking out his nose. He got pimp slapped. He looked like he took inspiration from Ike Turner. It was just straight.
Oh, man.
Man. only Ebony could say that.
Yeah, true.
He can't
like he took inspiration. He was on his Ike. No good. And then the whole he arguing it, Nick Nurse arguing it. The fans talk about refs, you suck. I'm looking like, what delusional?
The bias.
Like, how do you look
from
at
the
that?
Fans and the Nick that? Nurses? Yeah. Unbelievable.
Facts.
I've never seen such a thing.
Yeah. And I definitely got to give it my other bird pick. I got to give it to Terrence Howard. Oubre. Oubre. Mm. Talking all that stuff up and down. His tone up and down like a roller coaster all series. He was real high first and then it got here. And then it got, you know, it was real roller coaster. Mm. Then he started talking about shot selections, but the man hit 50% of that shot selection.
Mm.
But whatever. Oh. It gave me vibes of Terrence Howard in the Get Rich Die Trying when he said, I'm right. When he was, I'm right. When I'm right, when I'm wrong, I could be right. Remember that? Said, when I'm right, I'm right. But when I'm wrong, I could have been right. So I was always right. That was Oubre. So just to give Oubre that for talking so much trash and then changing the tune multiple times.
Yeah, depending on the win. Yeah, if they won, he's like, he's talking all this, man. If they lost, gotta get hit the half off them. It's like, oh, okay, all right.
And it's funny because he called our organization out for giving out tickets to celebrities. Organization was giving out
right?
tickets.
Bruh. Bumass.
For real. It's like, yeah, the Knicks are giving out. Yeah, the Knicks might be giving out tickets to celebrities, but I mean, you can't question the heart of the fans in the damn stands. I mean, I'd be damned if another team comes to Madison Square Garden and their fans are louder than Knicks fans.
That's a fact. MSG,
you know what I mean?
That's a fact. That was great.
It's not our fault that Meek Mill is the only Philadelphia celebrity.
Damn.
No.
Oh,
bro. No Diddy. Bottom tier celebrity.
He was talking about he was coming to New York. Yeah, right. You ain't coming to New York.
Mm.
Diddy, you trying to stay away from New York. I'm pretty sure of it.
Yeah, I'm still. What about the man? I was about to come through that screen when OG went up for the layup and then Embiid fouled him in the air. I was like, bro, what the hell?
Bruh.
I'm like, that's dangerous, man. You can't be pushing people out the air. What is it with Embiid pushing people out the air? Like, and they didn't call a flagrant on that, but it's like that's a dangerous play.
Yeah, it's that he's a flare. Like, he just I would never want to play against him.
Me neither.
Ever. Like just ever, because he's super dirty intentionally, and then he's super clumsy and flails. I don't know if it's purposely or what, but it's always a leg flailing up or arm or pimp smack.
And then
it's
he always argues something. It.
Yeah.
He'll argue it like, does he black out? I feel like him and Russell Westbrook like smoked the same weed. So I don't know. Because both of those guys will foul the hell out of you and then argue it like it didn't happen. And I'm just sitting there like,
I just don't understand. Audacity, right?
Yeah. And they'd be dead ass.
I think it's just because they spoil you. It's the spoiling nature of something just not going their way. And they can't handle it. Like, these are men who got everything they wanted. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? For their talents, they got yes. They're good at basketball in high school, probably kissed their behind in college. The same thing. You get to the NBA and you're a superstar. It gets times a billion. You know, everybody kisses your butt now. And here this referee in this big moment, and you don't get your way. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. I would never be able to play with him. Or against him, I didn't want him to be on my team before we played this series, and this just solidified it. Like, I'm good on the dirty Legos.
Yeah, he's a talented guy. He's probably one of the most talented centers in the league, but he has an accountability problem for sure.
Jokic is better.
Yeah, he has an accountability problem, and he has an injury problem. Like, I don't know if he'll ever be. He might have to look into like changing his. He might have to call Chris Paul and those guys. Look into changing his diet or something, because for your body to break down every year for 4 or 5 years straight, you're not doing something correctly.
Agreed.
Yeah. You got to leave them Shirley Temples alone.
Facts.
Yeah. I once saw an interview with him. I don't know. This stuck with me like forever. It was a couple of years ago too. And they asked him what his guilty pleasure was. And he said that he can't leave Shirley Temples alone. So there you go.
There you go. I'm Shirley's. Not this team.
S. Parker asked, did he cry? Did he cry this year? I don't know. That's a good question. Anybody see that he cried?
I don't know. He should be.
But I definitely saw
crying right now.
What'd you say, Ryan?
I definitely saw Sixers fans crying, especially on Twitter. And what was crazy to me is that. So this is one Sixers fan and just popped up on my timeline. I just wanted to see what he was crying about. So he pointed out a play where I guess Jalen Brunson was driving to the basket and he was noticing that Batum was like right behind him. And then Jalen Brunson kind of duped Batum and, you know, went up for a shot and Batum ran into him and they called a foul on Batum. And he was basically saying that should have been an offensive foul on Brunson. I'm just like, yo. How's an offensive foul on Brunson when Brunson is just probing the paint? He doesn't jump into Batum. He just goes up straight for the shot because he knows that Batum is going to run into him. So he just goes up straight for the shot. Batum runs into him. Then you're going to say that's an offensive foul on Brunson? And then I'm like, yo, that's the delusion and the crying nature that Philly fans have. Because I'm just like, yo, y'all really just trying to nitpick everything, trying to find every single thing to cry about. And it's like, come on now, like, at least if you're gonna cry about something, let it be a legit foul. Like, how's that offensive foul on Brunson if he's probing the paint, knows that Batum is behind him and just goes straight up for the shot and Batum runs into him?
Man,
come on.
I wouldn't even argue with Sixers fans. You just reply with memes at this point. Just reply with crying memes.
Yeah, it's salty. Tell him.
In the car.
Don't worry, football season is coming.
Yeah, crying Jordan face.
But I just want to say real quick, Josh Hart. Did y'all talk about Josh Hart's comments in the post game?
What'd he say?
What'd he say?
He said, "We knew this was going to be a tough environment. a little tougher than last game because there were 2,500 seats that were taken up. Thibodeau asked, it says they asked him if Josh Hart was close to being subbed out tonight. He said, Josh is never close to coming out. It was a passing thought. I let it pass.
That's funny, yo.
It's Tibbs, baby.
That's Tisby Tibbin, man. Yeah, Tisby. That's fun. Tisby Tibbin. Oh, man. All right, yo. That's our show, man. That's our show.
Wait.
Lee has some bros.
Oh, we got bros. Lee. Okay, my bad.
We do not have any bros. I have a new pick. I was honored. It's probably the best honor of my writing life. I was asked by The Guardian to write something on Jalen Brunson and what he means to Knit fans. And I finished it, and it will go live tomorrow. And I wanted to preview it here on the show first. Ooh. For the people I love the most in Knit's fandom. And I am dedicating this piece. I'll save this on Twitter tomorrow, but I want to say now, I'm dedicating this to Jay Ellis for everything that he's done for me in my career and giving me the platform and opportunity to be sought after, to write about things. Being a part of a KOT crew is my biggest honor of my writing, creative career. I'm very honored to be a part of a show. I love all three of y'all, like family, and this is for Jay Ellis.
Appreciate so I'll go that, ahead. Appreciate that, man.
No problem. To fully appreciate how Jalen Brunson has redeemed the New York Knicks, you must understand the context and history of point guard for the team. After team owner James Dolan was handed Knicks on a silver platter by his dad in 1999, the Knicks slipped into chaos and degradation. The chasm at point guard reflected the lack of leadership on and off the court. This exacerbated the team's dysfunction as they lacked a true floor leader to galvanize the mismatched pieces until Brunson's arrival. The 29-year-old isn't merely turning the Knicks into a contender. He's fulfilling the dreams of generation of Knicks fans who have only known losing or forgotten what winning feels like. The son of Rick Brunson, a former Knicks third-string point guard, known for a journeyman career full of hustle, defense, and energy, Jalen shares his father's role-playing heart while imbued with the championship desire and failure of his father's 1999 final squad. Little Jalen was bouncing around that last great Knicks team attached to his father's hip at Knicks practices where Tom Thibodeau was an assistant coach and Leon Rose, Ritz's agent, were mainstays. Rose is now president of the Knicks. Thibodeau is the team's head coach and Jalen Brunson their star. The trio are uniquely positioned to continue the mission of that 1999 team, a group of lovable dudes who played for each other and their take-no-shit coach. Brunson has three men in his corner, his father, Rose, and Tibbs, who can provide unique points of view of the Knicks' recent failures and further back their glory days. No Knicks player since 1999 has had that luxury of history and context. Tibbs is a taskmaster, but he also has instilled discipline in a franchise that is too often descending to chaos. As for Leon, whereas Dolan's previous executives went after washed-up former stars and mediocre bums to man the point, Leon chose Brunson based on fit. Rick was Rose's first client. The two know each other with unmatched familiarity. Rose knew Jalen possessed the potential to fill the team's most glaring hole because Rick has trained him since birth. Even a wildly unpopular Dolan deserves some credit for not meddling and screwing everything up. And who could forget Mark Cuban and Nito Harrison as Brunson's former team Dallas, who repeated the Steve Nash sin yet again, laying their point guard and sending the best player walked for nothing in free agency.
Bruh.
It took a smith stroke of luck for the Knicks and poor decision-making for the Mavericks to find Brunson with New York. Brunson is what Knicks fans wanted Stephon Marbury, who was running out of town in 2009 to be, a kid from the tri-state area who grew up a Knicks fan and came home to take the team to the next level. Luckily for Knicks fans, Brunson has been much better than Marbury. This makes Marbury's recent return to the Garden, completing his Knicks circle as Brunson's biggest supporter, all the more satisfying. Brunson has stepped into his role as a hometown hero with a game antithetical to the modern guard. He relies on footwork, IQ, and counters to score the rock at a level good enough for the best guard in the NBA. After losing his teammate and fellow All-Star Randall for the season, Brunson has taken on an even bigger role on offense while increasing his assists to make his teammates better. He's already set the franchise playoff scoring record with 47 points in game 4. which gave New York a 3-1 lead. After taking his team to the second round of the playoffs in his first year with the Knicks, he has his set set on the finals in year two. He's done all this without Randle. Brunson, the Knicks' nine-man rotation, lacked a single lottery pick, just a bunch of late first-rounders and former second-round picks playing the best basketball of their career off the majesty of Brunson's ascension to stardom. And even though it's only year two in New York, it feels that he's been throwing himself into the blue and orange gauntlet for a decade. Playing his entire career in Madison Square Garden already feels like a certainty. Watching Brunson play basketball in the Knicks jersey feels like Larry Johnson's four-point play. It feels like Allen Houston's game-winning floater. It feels like LeBron James with 40 said South Beach. It feels like Melo's first game in the Garden. It feels like Linsanity. It feels like Kristaps Porzingis before he took his final dunk against Milwaukee. It feels like the 2019 NBA lottery before that card of the third pick said New York Knicks. With everything in sight, it feels like hope personified. While it's easy to get lost in the mythology of the Knicks, every epic has an origin story. Thanks to the internet, Brunson's is memorialized in perpetuity. It's found in a grainy video taken in the early 2000s when Rich's playing career was already over and his coaching career with his son was just beginning. Rick and his wife, Sandra, are running Jalen through reps on an empty basketball court. The skinny preteen Jalen appears exhausted, yet he perseveres, dribbling up and down the court, launching to a pull-up jumper. Rick admonishes him to follow through on his shot, but it's more than a follow-through. It's a lesson in consistency, in legitimacy. Rick can be overheard repeatedly telling his son that everything he do has to be legit. Before the video fades to black, Jalen digs deep, tightening his dribble, scoring up to the basket, and following through on his shot. Even then, you can see the man he will become. In that simple, one-minute video, Knicks fans can see the future. And after holding their breath for 20 years, we can finally exhale.
Yeah.
We can. Going to the Guardian now.
Let's go.
That's for you, Jay Ellis. I dedicate that to you, my brother. I appreciate all you've done for me. I love you from the bottom of my heart. And appreciate I'm so happy you, to be a part of it.
Appreciate you. And hold on. Everybody shout out for a minute. My mom is in the building. Shout out to Mama Ellis.
Let's go, Mama Ellis.
Hey, Mom, why she just past your bedtime? You up this late?
That's so sweet.
She hyped, too. She said the Knicks going to the second round.
Let's go,
Mama Ellis.
Knicks fans in the blood. All right. Thank you, Lee. That was sweet. That was touching.
No doubt, my man. Much love.
Pacers on deck.
Yeah, man. Pretty sure it'll be real season, especially after the game tonight. Great timing. People will be really
good timing.
Did you hold it out? He's like, I'm gonna wait. Did you purposely wait till we knew he was gonna win this series?
My editor did. It was his idea. I was assigned this piece back in January, and I've been thinking about it and kind of writing it off and on for the last couple months. And then he told me when they win, I'll post it the next morning. So tomorrow morning, it should go live. Happy to share it with everybody.
Smart. That's a smart.
Yeah, can't wait to share it.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait Thanks. To share it.
Appreciate y'all.
For real.
All right. Those are all the oohs and bruhs. It's just time to shut it down, man. Time to shut it down. That's the show, guys. That's the show. So, yo, Lee, man, let them know. Let them know they can find you.
On Twitter, @_ Lee Escobedo, LeeEscobedo, or search in that search bar, #bum, #Mavs. I've been going back and forth these last couple of days with the Mavs bums, and I will be thanking Nico Harrison and Mark Cuban for Jalen Brunson. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you. We'll take that. Ebony, let her know they can find you, Ebony.
You can find me here every post game. You can find me on Twitch, Twitter, and Instagram at Mad Nick Fan. Every pregame, run a Your Take Knicks Twitter space. And during the Liberty season, we run a Bowling with the Queens Liberty post game space. So that's almost they're in training camp. First preseason game starts May 3rd, but that so both my teams about to be playing same time. It's kind of new, kind of different.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird timing for you. Weird time. Double time. Overtime for you.
I'm liking it. I like it. Liberty could wait for a little while longer.
Yeah. Yeah, while we're on this run, let's get this going. Let's get this going. All right, Ryan G, let them know where we can find you.
Oh, you can find me on Twitter, Ryan G K O T. You can also find me on Instagram at Sir G is Chilling.
Sir G is Chilling.
That's SirGisChillin. And also, I call some people in the chat noticing my new background. What you see is not everything because I'm kind of blocking the view a bit. So I'm just showing y'all like more of it. So yeah, that's like the middle right there. And then on top, if I can,
you got
Brazier. Brazier. Yeah, I like it.
Are you saying there's no Quintel Woods?
Wow, the disrespect to not have Quintel.
No Clay Anthony early.
Yeah, no Clay.
Anthony early yet.
No Look, Clay on the wall.
I have only so much wall space. I can't put every Knicks legend up. Oh, I just can't.
Travis Ware.
You don't want to sully
no
the wall.
Travis Ware. Whatever.
Travis Ware. Oh man. PTSD, bro.
Oh, my bad. Too soon.
I thought he was gonna be 3 and D too. Yeah. I was like, yep, 3 and D.
No three, no D.
Yeah, none of the above. None of the above. Oh man. First of all,
give me a quizzy. I gotta give me a Quincy AC jersey. Quincy.
Discount yeah. Man.
Y'all actually like Quincy, yo. That was my guy.
I did too. That's serious. I gotta give me one. Right. And when I wear it, I gotta wear black Air Forces too.
Yeah.
The complete.
Oh, that's funny.
Yo, Quincy AC definitely carried black Air Force energy.
Oh, to this day. To this day, he carries that. Black Air Force.
Alexander says he's got the Lua Munson jersey in the garage.
Oh! Use that to like clean your car.
Shout out to Nikki, one of the girls that I went to the Philly game when we went to Philly. She used the shirt. She spilled her beer and used their shirt to clean it up.
Oh yeah. Y'all read that tweet.
Damn.
Oh, I love it.
Damn.
Buddy, shout out.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to my co-worker's boyfriend gave me Knicks Band-Aids. So shout out to him.
That's what's up.
Nick Band-Aid.
He came in, she's like, my boyfriend, he just got 90 Band-Aids. And he's walking around talking about, I got cut. And he's like sticking his leg out, but he didn't even get cut. He just wanted to put Nick Band-Aids on him to go in.
Band-Aids.
Yeah, he said, well, he shout me out. So shout out to Kevin, and thanks for the Band-Aids, Kevin.
Look for some Nick Band-Aids.
But you can follow us at the KOT Show on Twitter, the Nick and Tom Show on Instagram, and the Nick and Tom Show on Facebook as well. All right. And you know, we're going to be here after every game talking that Knicks basketball. And so, you know, you just come here, like, subscribe, and, you know, donate as well. If you want any super chats, if you want to, you know, Cash App or PayPal, all that stuff's in the description to help support the channel. We'll appreciate you guys. And if you don't want to do that and you want to find another way to support the channel, just share. Hit like, subscribe, and share. And that'll be great for us. All right. So cool. Thank you guys for all your support. All right. That is the show. Thank you guys for watching. And we go to the second round.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. That's the show. That is the show. And as always,
shout out the World Wide West. Everywhere we go, we leave a worldwide mess.
It's a mess out here in these Knicks YouTube streets. It's a mess in Philadelphia right now because they crying over there right now. Let's go. That's the show. We out of here.
Peace.
York, New York, big city of dreams. New York, New York, big city of dreams.
NYC.
Knicks will not make it out the first round. Knicks versus Sixers. If Embiid back, I'm taking Sixers. If the Knicks make it out the first round, I would wear a Knicks jersey, a Brunson jersey.
But look.